great seeing you here. It's been quite a week. You didn't get tricked this week, I know that.
Well, hey, you know, I live in it, so I'm affected by it. It's a default condition.
Oh, yeah, it really was something. I mean, this week was just with the snipers and with all the information around the snipers, and then the whole new world order option and everything that's going on. It's just been very, very hectic. How have you been able to keep up?
Well, distracted by the death of a senator this week.
Oh, big stuff, big stuff. Two big earthquakes rumbling through, and, you know, we're going to have Sherman Skolnick here, the expert, to come in and talk about the controlled information environment that we're all living with, and CNN, and how, and just the world in which we have to make reality out of.
Yeah, how CNN tries to connect the dots for us.
No, it delines the dots.
That's right. And well, what we were saying earlier is I think they add so many more dots to this very, what should be a very simple connected dot story.
Mm-hmm.
They add so many dots that you can't tell what the picture was supposed to be in the first place.
Yeah.
I call it a mosaic, but it's just a mess. I mean, you listen to CNN, you're worse off than when you started.
It was quite a shock this week to hear the stance that was taken, and I think the rumblings and the hilarity backstage and the everybody sort of heard, and it was resounding around. It was just so funny just to listen to Wolf Blitzer try and red dot us on reality.
Well, that's right, because no one, and you'd think of all the intelligent people and guests that they have available to them with a resource on CNN,
yeah,
not one of them decided to bring on a guest that might say, you know, was this a suspicious plane crash?
No, they avoided that subject whatsoever,
no,
completely.
Even though,
by default, that's the law of averages, that's what it would be. But they avoided that for some reason. I wonder why.
Right, well, now the headlines are the senator's son, David, and the funeral and all the empathy that goes out towards the family and the big change in the politics, how everyone's going to have to deal with this now. And it was all left behind. Now, I've been checking out the CNN website.
Yeah, what
and,
you got?
Well, they won't suggest that there was anything suspicious about the plane crash, but they felt the obligation to put up articles like a list of how many senators in America have died in plane crashes recently. And I don't remember the number, but there's just 18 senators. Big list of names of all these guys who have died in plane crashes, and that hasn't triggered them to ask questions about whether it's suspicious or not.
Well, I think that when we speak to the experts tonight, we've got Sherman Skolnick coming on the line from Chicago, and speaking to Sherman is a great, great honor because of the hard work he's done and the work that he was done was grabbed by the FBI and used to put federal court judges in jail. So this is a man who dots the I's and crosses the T's, and when he speaks, it's interesting to hear what he's got to say. I'm looking forward to that tonight.
Yeah, but it's great because he comes in with the eagerness. You can tell in his voice.
Yeah.
He's loving what he does, and he's paying attention. He's been doing it for a long time. He's a stand-up guest.
Absolutely. And he's, once again, I should remind everybody that we want to, as we talk with Sherman, we want to hear how you feel about what you're hearing and about what's happening and his perspective. And back up, give us the feedback, call in. And
it's a great opportunity for people from Toronto to call up.
Or New Orleans, or
okay,
Chicago.
You can call from anywhere, but they get to talk to a world expert.
Yeah.
Ask whatever question, you're going to get a very straight answer.
Yeah.
They're top-notch guys.
Yeah, and of course, the beauty of this show is we're live, we're here in Toronto, and we're live on the Internet, and we're going out, and people are listening to us all around the world, in Russia, and Africa, and everywhere else. And shall we give the phone numbers? Yeah, let's give the phone numbers for people to call in. Area code 416-870-6656. Isn't that right, Sleeper?
That sounds good to me.
Right?
I didn't get a memo on that.
You didn't get a memo on that?
We have our brain cleansing clip prepped. Is that queued up, ready to play? We don't have that one in here? Okay, well, we'll try to get that to the next segment then.
Yeah, and that's the one that you put together.
The little intro, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I wanted to throw that in right before the guests.
Well, they can get it at www.mojoradio.com.
Yes, it's on the site.
Yeah, just go to mojoradio.com, and on the right-hand side, scroll down in the right-hand side, and you can click on Cloak and Dagger. By the way, I want to say, Sleeper, that the website that you have put together is absolutely one of the most revealing and untainted and communicative websites on the Internet that I have ever seen. It is awesome.
Well, that's high
praise. Congratulations.
Thank you, because I know you've been responsible for making many sites in the past, so thank you very much. I just got a memo slipped to me. I can confirm the number to call in, because we'd love to hear from you when Skolnick comes on. 416-870-6400.
Okay, 6,400 guys.
Yeah.
See, we're on the move. You got to change your name just to listen to the show. We're on the move, so the name, the phone numbers change quickly. I guess we're going to be going to break. So let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll have Sherman Skolnick.
Yes.
And we're going to get into the whole business about the sniper, and we're going to talk about this plane crash. Uh-oh, we're in troubles. You've got to change your name just to listen to this show, as our experts have very hot information. And we're going to study fresh current events tonight, because there's a lot of fresh current events. Right, Sleeper? Politicians killed in plane crashes. Again.
Yeah. We haven't even mentioned the Russian theater storming.
Oh, there's no time.
Chemical warfare.
Woo!
Mainstream endorsement from a superpower.
Yes.
Chemical attack.
Yes. So I think what we should do is just set the scene and go right into it with Sherman. Let's bring Sherman in. We've given him enough of a prep, and we're really anxious to find out, Sherman, all about the what's happening in the global theater and what's not being told to us tonight. Are you there?
Yes, I'm pleased and honored to be back on your show. Coming to you from my hometown of Chicago, the mafia CIA center of the world.
Right.
You're going to tell us, of course, what Toronto is the center of. I always want to be educated.
Yeah, well, we'll...
Culture and philosophy.
Yes,
center
yes.
of culture and philosophy for the world to come.
Sounds harmless.
Yes, it is.
First of all, we have a backdrop of financial meltdown in the United States. In a way, we're back like we were in the year 2001.
Huh.
And, of course, the diversion there was Black Tuesday, 9/11. Now we're back in that mode again, and what is happening is, well, just look what has happened just recently, which we're going to go into. First of all, as you have on your website, the Holy Jihad on one side, and there's an attack on the Holy Dollar on the other side.
Right, right.
And caught in the middle, I think, is the Canadian dollar, which I think some in the U.S. are determined to smash to pieces. I don't know.
Well, we've got two big subjects, really, for you to sort of go through, and we're going to reduce them and simplify the complex and what's not being said. And you're going to talk to us about what's not being pointed out. And you were going to first talk about what we call Big Brother uses high-tech aircraft to murder.
Well, from the least,
why don't we talk about that?
From the least from the time of Hitler to now, sabotaging airplanes is the way to kill opponents.
Mm-hmm.
After all, occasionally an airplane crashes because of an accident.
Yeah.
The Secret History of Airplane Sabotage, which I wrote as a book and which the book got stopped 30 years ago, it's still a valid situation.
And we should note that, Sherman, that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has already gone on record in a full-page ad in the New York Times claiming that he already has charged that there was a TWA 800 incident, and this is what was another one of those stories that happened to fall through the cracks. Full-page Sunday New York Times. Admiral Moore, Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff, says the National Transportation Safety Board changed its ruling, burned its notes, a la Mr. Fink and the Warren Commission guys.
Right. Now, what we have here, well, for example, if the occupant of the White House was to perish in a plane crash, they'd be an investigation, wouldn't there?
Big time.
3 years ago, there was a near crash of Air Force Two regarding Al Gore, which was a sabotage situation that I wrote about, and only one paper in the whole world wrote about it, which is amazing.
Yeah, and this is the controlled information environment, the Big Brother, the mini-truth.
Now, notice what happened here.
Yeah.
We've got a confrontation in the U.S. Senate with an election coming up.
Yeah.
And one party is only one heartbeat away over the other party.
Right.
Now, airplanes do crash, but that is the place where you can sabotage. Now, on the plane going to a funeral of all places, two senators were scheduled to be on the plane. Paul Wellstone, who's one of the most outspoken, was in the U.S. Senate, opposed Bush. In fact, he gave Bush such a big problem a year ago that Bush said, "Who is this chicken, blah, blah, this Wellstone? Who is he?"
Right, right.
Now, who was the other one that got on the plane to the funeral Friday? Was supposed to be on that plane.
Oh, I wonder.
At the last moment, Teddy Kennedy.
Kennedy. Ooh.
Now, that's the fourth plane crash for Teddy.
Oh.
People forget.
Let's just be coincidence, Sherman.
June 64, the sole survivor of a plane crash.
Yeah.
Left him with a partly broken neck and a damaged back, and thereafter he wore a back brace and part of a neck brace, okay?
Yep.
Then there were two commuter airplanes in the 80s in Massachusetts. Each time he was scheduled, had tickets to be on the plane. For some reason he changed his mind, the plane went down. Now this is the first time.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be on the plane with Paul Wellstone. Everybody knew it. He was visiting there. He was going to go with Wellstone to this funeral. And he decided not to.
Yeah.
Boy, he's got a good crystal ball. And the plane went down. And, I mean, you know, the things that I wrote about in the secret history of airplane sabotage, which... It's not a series, and
that's like a death list from a Kennedy assassination.
Right.
There's a whole pattern of dots here. As CNN delines the dots, and we're stringing them back together.
Well, it makes the airlines nervous.
Yep.
See what I mean? And the other thing is that the press takes the position: if an airplane is not straight out the victim of a bomb, there is no sabotage. They know they play stupid all of a sudden. Now, this plane here was flying in reasonably good weather. If there was ice on the wings, it takes a while for it to build up, and this particular plane has got all kind of things to defeat that. So as it came in for a landing, he flicked his microphone to get the landing lights on, and all of a sudden the plane lost control, veered over, and crashed. And the FBI, before they got to the remote area where the plane crashed, already announced to the press, there was no reason to believe there was any foul play. Hey, that should have been the first thing on their mind.
When we see a senator go down, you don't have to go much into it. We know about Tomlinson trying to get on 111 that crashed off of Canada. And so we do want to stick to the high ground on it, and what does it all mean? And maybe you could just finish off the whole thing about, I mean,
let me give the
airplane sabotage and move into the Cheney stuff.
Yeah, let me give an overview of what we hope to talk about within the time limits tonight. There's an impending financial meltdown. It got delayed a year by 9-1-1. Then we're going to talk about some of the things that happened with the Beltway snipers. And we're going to mention that a fight in the oil industry has centered on the White House.
Good. Let's run through that.
And I'm going to pronounce his name right because he's of French descent. Richard Cheney and Bush. They're fighting around. And, of course, you're not going to read that in the press, not so soon, anyway.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that, Sherman. Cheney.
Richard Cheney. He's in with what more blunt people call the frogs, the French. And, of course, the Bush family is in with the Brits, the Limeys. I hope I don't offend anybody with those two terms, but that's what people in a hurry call these different groups. So that's really the three subjects we're going to talk about tonight, and how here in the United States you get rid of political opponents. Now, Clinton, one of the most outspoken senators that criticized Clinton was Senator Inhofe. And guess what happened to his airplane? He took off with his private plane, and what do you know? The propeller fell off. And the aviation experts said, this is not possible.
Well,
and some reporter found his propeller laying on a highway, and that's even more strange.
Well, if people go to my website, they can see Lenny Bloom's two helicopters. And as a commercial pilot, I can tell you that I've seen some real tall stories. that I know don't happen in real life, because I've been out there up at 50, 60,000 feet and also down in the mountains and in the waters. I mean, these stories, especially the JFK Jr. Put up lie, was unbelievable as a pilot. And I think it'd be great for pilots listening to call in, change their name. And why don't you guys call in? Because we've all been on the glide slope and the localizer together and short field landings, and you guys know a lot about what I'm talking about. So I always urge the pilots, the commercial pilots, to change their name and call into the show.
Well, Lenny, it was good enough for Hitler, and since some cynical people in the United States feel that the United States is going in that direction, they says, well, if killing your opponents to sabotage airplanes is good enough for Hitler, should be good enough for some of the powers that be in the United States. Now, that may be a little too cynical, but that's the way some people look at it, don't they?
Unfortunately, I have a break coming up, Sherman. So what I think we should do, though, is tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Let's go into the pipeline thing as soon as we come out of this break.
Okay.
And that will lead to an understanding of the current economic crisis.
The fight in the White House.
Beautiful. The Civil War in the White House.
Right.
Now joining us on the phones is a man that I want to give an introduction to. His name is Bob Dobbs. Bob is the man who has inherited the McLuhan mantle, Marshall McLuhan, the great Canadian media communicator and guru. And this is the man who is written about by the people who were around Marshall McLuhan and the associates, the true associates of his. And he's the one who's been on the show all along joining me. And I want to give Bob a special introduction. I don't think it's been done before on the show. But really, he has inherited the McLuhan mantle, which means he is a classical trained media professional and can talk to us about technology and its effects on culture and human behavior. And he is now living in Manhattan, and he joins Sherman and myself in order to join in on the discussion and give us a more rounded view of what we're seeing inside of the media. And Bob's able to give us not only an understanding of what we perceive, but also the medium that's creating that perception. Bob, are you there?
Yep, Lenny, I'm here.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us in the studio. We welcome and hope you come to the studio, because being able to see you when we talk to you is such an important component lately.
Well, if you guys relax in the break, I find it very uncomfortable there when I'm in person. You guys are too busy running around with the trivialities, and it's hard to relax. I prefer to be on the phone.
Yes, you're a very nervous guy.
A little more streamlined system.
You are the nervous guy.
We're nervous.
Yes.
It's much more relaxed here now. We got the lights dimmed. And
well, Bob, we're nervous because you're here.
Well, it should be. First of all, you know, I understand you're Canadian bias, and I'm the inheritor of the McLuhan mantle, but I'm also the inheritor of the Lyndon LaRouche mantle, the Frank Zappa mantle, the Dr. Beter mantle. I inherited the Mae Buffel and Sherman Skolnick mantle. I don't think Sherman's fully aware of that. I'm inheritor of the Finnegan's Wake James Joyce mantle. All pinholder officers, I'm the possessor of those mantles, not just McLuhan. He's kind of puny, kind of tiny compared to the other nine.
Okay, good stuff. So let's move it forward and have Sherman come in here, and let's start going through the week and linking this the next dots.
Well, Lenny, before it comes on, I want to show you a pattern. Last week...
Hold on, is Sherman in there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Sherman.
I'm waiting for your mantle guru to finish.
Okay,
listen, son. Last week... you told us about the efforts of Cheney to create a counter line, the Trans-Siberian line, and you talked about Bush's attempts to UNICAL in Afghanistan. Now, what was interesting is that the week before that, I laid out the top news, the big story that the 12 people, the first committee that did September 11th, was being monitored and watched by a secondary Illuminati, a secondary committee of military people from around the world, from nations all over the world. And I saw that your pattern is a parallel of what I had predicted a week before you.
And therefore what, Bob? Have you got any more predictions?
Well, I think that I predict that a lot of people won't understand my main point tonight, which is that it's the cell phones
that have caused all the problems of the 90s. The cell phone caused the attack on September 11th. The cell phone caused the problems here in Moscow. It caused the sniping. The cell phones, because when you're on the cell phone, it's like someone came up and licked your cheek. Now imagine you having someone you don't even know is licking your cheek, and then all of a sudden someone else is licking your cheek. That is a very irritating sensation, especially the Westerners. That will drive you crazy. That is the actual sensory effect of cell phones. No wonder the population has gone nuts in more ways than one.
And so, Bob, basically you're talking about this huge effect on behavior, history, current events as a result of a technology alone, and you're saying that what they say on it doesn't really matter?
No. The point is the cell phone. I had a friend. He said cell phone mania.
He said no. So what does that mean? What are you saying?
I'm saying that I have a friend who lives in Los Angeles. And he is totally, he's in the business, does very well, but he is very struck by the incredible rampant use of cell phones by all kinds of people, especially young people. And he said he was in a movie the other day, and when he came out, six little girls come running out, all of them chattering on the cell phone as they come out of the movie to other people. This kind of social fragmentation is lethal. And so the cell phone is the prime cause, not the Bolsheviks, not the Nazis, not the Jesuits, not anybody that's Skolnick or Alex Jones or Dave Emery or Mae Brussel, anybody else. These people don't exist anymore. We are talking about technologies, arguing with other technologies and upset when the new technology comes in, which is the cell phone. So take that, Sherman. What's your response?
Let's get into the pipeline discussion. That might be lethal, too.
Yeah.
There's a civil war going on in the White House. And the reason some of us are able to find out a lot about it is because a number of Secret Service agents have resigned and have packaged off the record the White House reporters who cannot get it into their media, so they put it into the ear of certain independent journalists, and you can figure out who that is. And what is the Civil War about? Well, first of all, here is a manifestation of the Civil War.
Now, Sherman, you know what? There happens to be, and we should take it, a call from John in Mississauga for Bob. And we should just digress for a minute. And I don't mind doing this on radio because we can go in all directions at the same time simultaneously, and we don't have to stick to any linear literal schedule. So just hold on to that thought because we'll come back to it. But I want to take this John in Mississauga for you, Bob. Hang on. John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got a question for Bob?
Yeah, I do. I kind of agree with Bob. Sometimes I'm more in love with the medium than I am the message. I don't know if the content is as important sometimes as the medium itself. If that means anything to anyone. But Bob, can you tell anyone about the Evergreens?
Yes, we have the Evergreens are featured on the Marshall McLuhan Institute site. You can see my two dialogues, the transcripts of them with Frank Zappa and also with Tim Leary. I'm very open through the Evergreens. I have James Joyce, Marshall McLuhan, and Frank Zappa, consultants to us in the McLuhan Institute and the Cloak and Dagger. And we are quite open about our sources, and the Evergreens are tremendous and well recommended.
You want to give that website again, and by the way, if you want to speak to Bob about this, you can call us at 416-870-6400, and let's hear from you and hear from those pilots, and we want to hear from our pilots, right, Sherman?
Yes.
Sherman, I just want to tell you, I've talked a lot to Mae Brussel through the Evergreens and got a lot of insight into your work with Mae. Mae has a different perspective, being dead and coming through the Evergreens. It's incredible what I can find out, but I know that you have psychic ability, and I thought you'd be interested in that.
We want to get to the civil war in the oil industry, reaches right into the White House, Cheney versus Bush. Sherman, why did Cheney beat up Bush, and they said it was a pretzel?
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on there?
Well, the Afghanistan pipeline was a shortcut to Pakistan and India and points east. And that was by Union Oil of California, which is in with the Bush crime family.
Which is called UNICAL for short.
Right.
Okay.
And the
listeners follow along. He's talking about
the top officials of Afghanistan are former consultants to UNICAL, including Hamid Karzai.
And the president of Afghanistan, is it right? The man who they put in was a consultant to the oil company.
Him and Hamid Karzai both were consultants to UNICAL. Now,
so that confirms the connection big time. Okay, go ahead.
They announced reserves of such and such million or trillion barrels of oil that they had in reserves to be, you know, tapped and shipped. There's a shortcut through the Afghanistan pipeline.
Right.
And Bush told certain diplomats in Europe in July of last year, before Black Tuesday, we're going to go to war with Afghanistan in October. It's all over the pipeline deal.
Right.
Now, what happened is they either fraudulently overstated their reserves or accidentally overstated it through geological estimate errors.
And we've seen this in Canada with a lot of different
right. In any case, some of the other investors feel that they've been had.
Right.
Now, notice this. So they got only 40% of the reserves that they claimed they had. So in simple terms, the Afghanistan pipeline is not feasible.
No longer feasible.
Okay, now...
It's not the first time that companies have made mistakes and errors.
Now, where is the competing pipeline? Well, there's a competing pipeline in the works from Siberia through a corner of Red China through North Korea to the body of water that separates North Korea from Japan.
Just like a railway.
And it would help revive industry at a cheaper cost per worker in Japan. They have the oil come at a low price from Siberia through this means. It would help Red China and North Korea, and they need to build an underwater pipeline or transport it a short distance over the water to Japan.
Yeah, that's not anything high-tech. That's easily done.
But here is the point. Now, the other pipeline was in with the British, among others.
So what's the point?
The Afghanistan pipeline is the British. Who have been locked out of the Mideast when it comes to oil?
French.
The French. So, who are the principals
French.
In the Siberian pipeline? Richard Cheney, who's of French descent. So, in its simplest form...
Did you get that, Sleeper?
It's
Sleeper doesn't... Hold on a moment. Wait a second.
Cheney and the French...
Sleeper, how are you going to put that on the internet? Cheney.
I know, you got to put an accent over the last...
Okay, we got to get that down for Sleeper. He's taking the records.
Okay, now here...
Sorry, Sherman, go ahead.
So, in its simplest form, it's Richard Cheney and the frogs and the Siberian pipeline versus Unocal and their pipeline in with the Brits, which is the Bush family. And I pointed out on our website through a whole series of stories about Greenspan aids and bribes Bush, and there's documents showing the Bush family in with the Queen of England and her private bank in London. So in its simplest form, there's a civil war in the White House between... Bush, that is the Brits, the Limeys, whatever you call them.
Just call them the Brits. What do you have to go any farther than that for?
Versus the Fudge, the Fudge. Richard Cheney. So if you want to know.
You got that, Bob?
Bush was seen.
I did giggling here.
Yeah,
if you want to know why Bush was seen with marks on his face, claiming he fell down after chomping on a pretzel.
Yeah, there's much hilarity behind the scenes.
Well, it was the Germans, the Russians, and the Americans.
But wait a minute. A number of Secret Service agents, for mysterious, unexplained reasons, have quit in the last couple of months, and they're talking to White House reporters about what really goes on, and the White House reporters can't get their network bosses in New York to go with it, so they put it into the ear of certain loudmouth independent journalists. Put it that way.
Well, I think...
Here's what happened. Now, Bush acted womanlike and didn't sock him back, but scratched his face. So Cheney had scratches on his face, and Bush had, what do you call it, Lenny? Sock marks.
Yeah, he had a black eye.
And, of course, that fits in with my story about Bush and some of his... romantic, rather.
That's gossip. Unless you can say he's being blackmailed as a result of it, then.
Right. No, it's not. It's not mere gossip. The Red Chinese government is blackmailing Bush over his sordid private life, which is gone into on my website.
Give the website. You can get it on our website, skolniksreport.com.
Skolniks.
Report.com.
There was an S after my name, skolniksreport.com.
Yeah.
You can read about the sordid private life of George.
That's right.
Bush.
Everything you say on this show is backed up by a footnote on the internet, just like Dobbs.
And my Beagle.
Are we on?
Yes. Go ahead, Chairman.
Okay. I want to talk now briefly about some of the little-known details of the Beltway Assassins. Now, internet is wonderful. It's wonderful for what they call audio streaming, which means to put radio shows on internet so you can hear it through your computer. But notice what happened. Internet has gotten out of the control of Big Brother. It's being used by as an alternate media.
The invisible government and the wolf blitzers are red-dogging us.
Right. Now notice what happened. Not all of those murdered by the Beltway Assassins were simply at random shootings. One of those was a woman who, in effect, is the FBI counterintelligence official who is the internet inspector. You got that?
We got it.
And a week ago Tuesday, not this week, but the previous Tuesday, she was murdered under the most odd circumstances. I can go into all the circumstances, but if you knew all the circumstances, you'd say, hey, that's such a...
Sherman, we know from your discoveries and the work you've done with the agencies, the FBI, and how they've relied on your expert opinion that we'll take it. You don't have to go into a great deal of detail.
That's the point.
We know what you're talking about.
This last Monday...
Stick to the main points.
Earlier this week, one of the strangest things happened with internet. They revealed, I think for the first time, that 13 super-secret, huge computers actually runs the internet worldwide, and that 7 of them, which is more than half, mysteriously stopped functioning.
Well, they were attacked.
Attacked.
You can see that story on our website at the bottom of the page.
Now, notice, the previous week, the woman that's in counterintelligence in the FBI, it's called the National Infrastructure Protection Center, is where she worked. And so she's dead. She was murdered by the Beltway Assassin. And so on Monday, they shut down internet. And the FBI announced, I saw a story in the New York Times, we can't figure out how this happened.
Well, now it's not so much shut down. It was attacked is really what you mean.
Well, it was interfered with. They screwed things
up.
It
was heavily attacked. It was attacked, they said. Attack cripples key internet computers. There was a major attack on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting the two of those situations
together. Which, Bob, wouldn't you agree, as media scientists, those are items on the radar scope, dots on the radar scope. You can put the lines and link them together?
No, you can't make lines. You can't make dots out of tactile space. There is no differentiation. These terms are silly. That's why the military uses them. Connect the dots. What a ridiculous phrase. It's not the situation. Sleep right
there. Anyway, let me come to the next point.
Go ahead, Sherman.
Not everybody believes that the two people they grabbed are the actual assassins. There's so many questions about them. Now, we wrote a story about a secret CIA, it's more than a CIA, military project called Project White Star. And a smaller version of that was used in Vietnam to terrorize the Viet Cong, supposedly, their infrastructure. And, of course, that was called the Phoenix Assassination Program, and there are books on that. But there are not books on it, so far as I know.
Yeah, that, once again, mention the names. That's White Star and Phoenix Assassination Program.
Now, the White Star has, to my knowledge, never been written about. The Phoenix Assassination Program has, but that was a much lesser thing. Now, what was the White Star project about? It was to accomplish certain geopolitical purposes through terror, through shooting a whole bunch of people, but not, you know, spraying a bunch of people with gunfire, but very accurately killing one of them at a time. One bullet, one dead. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
now,
a terror campaign, you shoot each guy one by one by one.
Yeah, now when you examine...
It's a water torture test.
When you examine all the details of what happened in the Beltway, I'm sorry, some of the retired, skilled Marine snipers from Southeast Asia that have come home quietly to blend into the surroundings, says, hey, this guy Muhammad and this young kid from wherever he was, from Jamaica, they don't seem to be the ones to be doing this. And notice something. The Beltway police have sheepishly mentioned that they stopped this blue car 10 times, and they saw this blue car several times.
They saw it. Is that right?
Yeah, with the lights off, quietly departing from the scene where a person was just killed.
Yeah, and
he's like, why did that happen? Because the higher-ups in law enforcement look for a white man driving a white van. It didn't occur to him that it could be a person of another color or ethnic driving a different color.
Now, is that the bias of communication?
But the point is, they knew all along there was something with the blue car. He was seen by witnesses again and again with the lights off, departing the scene where somebody was just murdered.
Well, we got to take a break, but that's probably the bias of communication of cell phones that Bob will talk to us about.
No one in this world can be trusted. Not men, not women, not beasts.
You're acting like this is all my fault. I guess we're playing for keeps now.
Even the smallest person can change the course of the future.
If that battle must come, I will fight it.
Then, as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
I guess we're playing for keeps now. I guess the duty here around is pretty much over, huh?
Do you understand the concept? Poor impulse control?
You're acting like this is all my fault.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyrant of evil men.
I guess we're playing for keeps now. I guess we're playing for keeps now.
And now, more good news, bad news, truth, on Cloak and Dagger, live on Mojo Radio.
Okay, we're back on Cloak and Dagger. I want to go immediately to Sleeper. Sleeper, that was just really terrific poetry, and you've taken parts of culture and put it together and juxtaposed it, and in clashing it, you give us a whole new way of thinking about things. It really is terrific.
There's so much material out there, it's relatively easy to do. I really enjoy it, and I think it reveals a lot about the show and always ends up having more meaning the show after than the show it played.
Yeah, poetry is a big part of it because poetry communicates long before it is understood, and
a lot
of our experts are poets.
In the past.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of our experts on the show, I mean, we have a controlled information environment, and they're holding back a lot of information, which means that there's a lot of experts out there who aren't being heard. And, of course, it's great to be able to have them be joined by
two of them in the studio or on the show online right now.
Yeah, Bob
Dobbs
and Sherman Skolnick, exactly.
I'm not just an expert. I'm a co-producer of this show.
That's right, Bob. But not only that, you're the expert's expert.
That's right. Let me give you a pattern. The job of poetry is to give us
pattern. I just want to give you the time for one sec. We've got Sherman here. He's done the Beltway Snipers, murdered the FBI Internet Inspector. We want to finish that off and wrap it up, Sherman. And
let me summarize what's happened.
We have about 6 minutes, and we want to do that with you, and then we're going to move on to Alex Jones, and we're going to speak to Bob. But I want you to wrap up. We did the...
Okay. What has happened in the last 2 weeks is, number one, the FBI's Internet Inspector, Counterintelligence, was murdered. Monday there was an attack. This last Monday was a severe attack on the Internet computers. Thursday, the media tells us they found the Beltway assassins. Some of us don't quite accept the way the media is explaining it to us. And then the very next day after the Beltway assassins are supposedly arrested, there is a plan underway to murder two U.S. senators, both Democrats, both outspoken against Bush. One they did succeed in murdering by way of a sabotaged plane crash, and the other one, Senator Ted Kennedy, who was about to release some things about how his two brothers were murdered, at the last minute he didn't get on the plane. So the plan to kill two U.S. senators only worked half. So that's what's happened in the last 2 weeks. And what is it that they're covering up anyway? They're covering up an impending financial meltdown. U.S. bonds are going to be under attack, in my judgment.
So this is the holy dollar war. And
right, the U.S. dollar.
And we're also being under the holy jihad war. Two wars being fought at the same time.
And the thing is, see, people, there's a younger generation out there. And Bush, in a way, talks like President Herbert Hoover. Prosperity is right around the corner. Hey, 71 years ago, Herbert Hoover said that. Our elders were fooled by it. And so we have an impending financial meltdown, and apparently these other happenings are to divert our attention from those things while Bush, and I call him Bush fraud because of the strange way he got into the office, he wants all of these diversions to minimize the criticism of his plan for a land invasion of Iraq. That's his idea of getting around the pipeline problems, around all these things. They're going to latch on to Iraq.
Yeah. And everybody's losing control. Everything's gone out of control.
Well, we're on overload now.
And out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. Two competing pipelines. The two characters in the White House are apparently at each other. One knocks the other one down with fists. The other one scratches his face.
And this out of control situation really is something that Dobbs has been, of course, talking about.
He claims that cell phones are causing this out of control situation.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly, Mr. Stolnik.
Well, go ahead and tell us. In what way does a cell phone get out of?
Well, if you stay
on Petrad on the cell phone, Bob.
Well, what the hell is a cell phone for? It's supposed to be something that keeps you in touch for emergencies. Mothers use it so they know where their kids are.
Mr. Dobbs, do you mind if
I am finished. Okay. So the point is that 911, the cell phone, is an extension of solving the 911 problem, the security problem of community cohesion and lack of paranoia. Well,
Bob,
it led to a big event, and it flipped into a 911, which was the exact opposite. Tremendous insecurity. I say that's a beautiful tetrad. That's poetry, Mr. Stolnik.
Can I comment on cell phones? You know, on my television show here in Chicago, I'm usually quite cynical. I think that Bush and his crime family belong in a jail cell, and that's my idea where he should use his cell phone is inside a cell.
But, Chairman, he is already in a prison, the White House. His historical lineage of part of the banking Nazi hookup thing forced him to be present, forced Kennedy to be present, and they have nothing to do there. So they get frustrated and they get used, and the cell phone is the only way they can get out. And all the kids imitate that, Mr. Scarlett. They have to mime the elders and the White House. And what happens is economic chaos. And what keeps the chaos organized? Scandals. Scandals keep this thing going.
So
and we should save every scandal, every accident that happens.
Okay, Bob, let Sherman continue.
So you're saying that this frog, Richard Cheney, is a competitor of the Bush. Are both of them going to be in a cell or just one of them? Now that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, the whole city of Washington.
Cheney.
The whole city of Washington is in this cell. You have to understand what the concentration camp in World War II meant. That was the beginning of illustrating the end of community, which died under mechanical conditions in the 19th century. So the horrors of the concentration camp were replayed in the Gulf War, where they took one city, Baghdad, and annihilated it. More specifically, the concentration camp.
Bob, have you ever been beaten up like George Bush was? Have you choked on a pretzel?
Many times when in my intelligence work, I mean, you just have to see David Lynch's movie Wild at Heart. It shows the way I lived. I mean, I've had a lot of surgeries, a lot of broken bones. That's how you live in a
future. Some gentleman, some future historian, is going to write a chapter in their history book about the Civil War in the White House, and they're going to call it the Pretzel Affair.
Since 1958, Sherman has been a court reformer. Since 1963, he has been the founder and chairman of the Citizens Committee to Clean Up the Courts, a public interest group researching and disclosing certain instances of judicial bribery and political murders. His website is www.skolniksreport.com, and we have lots of links from our site to Sherman's, and you can follow and read what he has to say. He is one of the great experts and researchers, and the authorities have relied on his research over the years. And we thank you for joining us. We're going to just thank you again, Sherman. We've been through the 3 points that we wanted to make with you. Thanks for joining us. updating us on fresh current events, and we will be speaking to you again very soon. The way things are going and the way the present is moving into the past faster and faster, I'm sure you'll be on a lot more. We thank you for joining us. And
it's been my honor to be on your show, and I hope the listeners appreciate this type of show, support this facility and this show in whatever way they can, because there are some places, especially in the United States, where they don't like shows like this to be on the air. Not that the public doesn't want to hear them, but there are some that would like to censor these subjects and keep us all in the dark.
Well, until you come back, keep on practicing to avoid face crime and thought crime, Sherman, and we welcome your skewed up newspeak. And thanks a lot, and we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Bye, Sherm. Bob.
Yes.
Are you there?
I certainly am.
Sleeper and I and Pepper Chomsky, but we've got, okay, there we go. We've gotten rid. Are you there? Bob's gone? Hang up on him. Oh, hang up on him. Okay, we got to hit a button here, eh? There? There. Good enough. You there, Bob?
Yes.
Okay, take it away. We're here in Toronto, mojoradio.com. What's happening, Bob?
Well, finish my pattern. We're bringing on Alex soon?
We're going to be bringing on Alex.
Okay, don't go into it. I got it.
Those of us who are...
I got it. All right. Now, here's the thing. What it's really interesting about the phenomenon of the concentration camp. The shock of the concentration camp was the...
Wait. Explain the connection. Now, concentration camp meaning what? Just...
The image we have of it from World War II.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The Holocaust concentration camp.
Now I'm following you.
Right. Now, the shocking image and effect of that was the meaning of inhumanity, the lack of any sense of human bonding, that one group of humans would just massacre millions of other humans like that. It just was so alienating for the sense of human community. But, of course, once we arrived into the dimension of the android meme from 1960 on, where technology came alive and it's just communicating and replaying human history for its own sake and nothing to do with us, it's very interesting how the concentration camp phenomenon spreads. And I think the city was so obsolete by 1990 that the bombing and the horrendous sort of wiping out of the Iraqi populations in Baghdad during the 1991 Gulf War was really an update of the concentration camp phenomenon.
What do you mean by that? Just okay, it's a phenomenon. You're saying that it's a repeat of something that happened earlier in history?
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's the android meme. It's technology replaying human stupidity. So what is the city? That's an industrial structure that humans built. But by the time of 1990, the industrial structures are floating in the electronic digital world. And so a larger software impetus can wipe out an old industrial structure. So you had the total destruction of Baghdad and a lot other parts of Iraq. And really, in retrospect, those concentration camps. That's what was so horrendous about it. So now where are we today? With the android meme in total chaos, I mean, we don't just have humans in chaos now in nonlinear activity. The android meme is in trouble, and it's fragmenting itself. So what happens? It starts bombing ethnic groups and whole nations.
Wait, now, Bob, what you're really saying is a matrix effect, that humanity's not in control, and that some machine or group of machines or conscious machine is running the pattern of world events. Do you really want us to believe that? Is that it?
Yes, and it's not hard to believe. Kids read it in science fiction all the time. It's in the it's total regular TV fare. It's in cartoon language. The point is people may not understand the implications, and the implications are what life is. You don't exist by yourself. You only know what you know and live because others react to you.
Well, so, Bob, we should have people call in if they think they agree with you or disagree with you at 870-6400, area code 416. Go ahead, Bob. To interrupt you.
Sure.
But this is like frightful stuff. Somebody should go to the phone and let us know how they feel, Bob.
Many people today don't understand why George Bush has reignited nuclear weapons development as a new part of the military economy. Now, why would they bring back the image of nuclear war and this whole frightening thing that's come out after September 11th? So I think what you have is 10, 12 years ago, the city there's a concentration camp. Now we have whole nations, whole ethnic groups live and quiver in fear because they may be a concentration camp. That is the image that America's been responding to in the last year, that they are going to be nuclear wiped out. Now, this is because the Android meme is replaying archetypal images of human history and doing to itself. So what you have now, you have the hardware world being obliterated by software world, but the software world are updated. So
Bob, are there no individuals? You actually mean that it's just like in the Matrix. The Matrix is really literally true almost in that the machine, the consciousness of humanity, was outered into the machine. The machine became conscious. Of course, if I have to make a case against this, you could hit me with HAL 9000, Terminator, others. There's a lot of images that I'd have to find some excuses to pull out the rug, but you're telling me that they literally scraped the decks of consciousness and stuck it out into the machine?
Yes. Now, here's what's interesting is why we have the chaos. Remember how Sherman mentioned 10 minutes ago that the Internet was hard to control, that the major media, one branch of the centralized Android meme, was not able to control the fragmentation and individual anarchy of the Internet.
Well, now, Bob Colt's got a question from Waterloo. So there you go. You see, you're doing your job. Wow. Way to go, Bob. Hold on. Let's take Colt. Colt.
He's silent. That's not bad. That's a good question. Just
Colt? Colt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great name. I'm glad you changed it.
All right. I'm just getting back to that whole topic about how the whole Matrix effect. I think more along the lines that the reason why we have this whole upscale crap against ethnic minorities is because of retarded leaders that we have, like George Bush. I'm sorry, but that guy is an idiot. And Jean Chrétien is no smarter. So, I mean, I just want to know what do you think about that when we have leaders like that
that
make those decisions.
Colt, you have not met George Bush. You have not met Jean Chrétien. I personally have. They're very intelligent men, but they are human beings trying to communicate through a whole media matrix, and you can't look good in that matrix. Not anybody looks good in that matrix. From Elvis to Madonna to Frank Zappa, maybe Frank did okay. But anyways, most people will get a distorted image, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not looking at people. George Bush has nothing to do with what's going on. He's sitting in prison in the White House, a vestige of human flesh, and he hasn't got anything to do with the EST and the imagery that you and I have to deal with.
Bob, poetry communicates long before it's understood. You've got me laughing here, but I don't know what you're saying, but it sure is great.
Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to say that he's a pure idiot or anything like that. I'm sure he's smart, but is he really the right man to run the country, a powerful country like the United States?
Well, Bob, you're saying nobody's running the country.
Yeah, technology. You can't run the country more than any bureaucratic leader.
How do you figure that now?
Because we're run by polls, and it's only a small part of the population, the poll-taking, and the 1,500 people they use can be anybody. It could be anybody, and that pattern is imposed on the rest of us. And that is the pattern that the whole economy is based on. So it had nothing to do with human flesh. But the final point, Colt, is that the Android meme is getting so good at being human, it's going to give the opportunity to free us up. It's going to make us feel free and individuated. And that's where we are today. We are free to do whatever we want to do, but we do have to deal with the fact the Android meme is still inside us. So it is going to give us the illusion of freedom, but it will be a very viable illusion that you won't be able to give up.
There you go, Colt.
All right.
Bob Dobbs himself.
Okay.
You meditate.
Another question.
You meditate on that, Colin. Call back next week. I don't expect you to fully understand me, but you know I can continue dialoguing and replaying it and trying to give you new angles.
No, I'm just trying to hit the whole point. So you're thinking that machines run our society, but not people.
Yeah. What if?
How does that work?
Look, if you didn't have your cell phone or even telephones, and you didn't have your glasses, how would you get to school or work? There's what you're controlled by, and that's 50, 70 years ago.
Okay, well, let's do a little hypothetical thing here. What if, nuclear holocaust, and this whole world gets blown to crap, and, we have to start back from scratch with no technology anymore. You know, what do we do then? Do you think the human race is just going to die out?
No, it won't die out, because I assume if there are some survivors, they will remember if they're reasonably part of the planet and had a TV or radio, they have a few images of something, and just having images of what our civilization was before it was blown up will inspire human thought, the most creative organism around, and they'll start rebuilding, probably in a new way.
Yeah, well, how long do you think that would take?
That might take a long time.
Oh, look at the Dark Ages. What happened there? We probably would be a lot more advanced if it hadn't been for the Dark Ages.
Well, it took millions of years for us to get here, so 2,000 years, if you say that's a long time from now, that ain't very long in terms of human history.
Okay.
There's no problem here, Colt. We're okay. Take a break.
We have Sydney on the phone, and Sydney has called in before, and Bob, I'm looking forward to hearing her take some shots at you. Here we go. Sydney, welcome to the show.
Yes, Bob. First of all, I don't have any illusions. I teach studies in propaganda. And the Matrix, as far as I'm concerned, and other people who know about monetary matters, the Matrix is the financial system, which has been superimposed over our actual physical economy, our resources. Sure, the financial system may collapse, probably will collapse, as Skolnick talked about it, but that doesn't mean our resources are gone. They will still be there. And the evil is not in technology or the money system itself. The evil is with the people who have stolen the monetary system, the honest one from governments. Private people create money now. Mm-hmm. The world is being sucked dry, paying interest that it doesn't have to pay to groups like the International Mugging Fraternity or the IMF,
right.
The World Bank, and the World Health, which doesn't give health at all, but death. So the evil is in people, not machines. The machines themselves don't have a moral value, and we should be using them to our benefit for leisure, to learn, to find out why we're here, where we're going, the philosophy of it all. But it's the people who have privatized, like they have everything else, but money was the very first privatization, and everything else came after. So the Matrix is the phony monetary system owned by private people.
The thugs.
The thugs who are sucking up all our physical resources because we supposedly owe them interest to rent our own money.
Yeah,
now,
Bob,
that is the Matrix, Bob.
Bob,
and I have no illusions. I know I'm not free, but I am free enough to tell you this little bit. And my class, we have a lot of jokes about the so-called financial system and how people are told over and over again that this is our wealth. No, it is not. Money is just numbers. Numbers. We can do everything we have to do and get the numbers out later. But people have been scammed into believing that if you own money, if you can issue money, and this is what's happening, you can own the world. Well, I'm sorry, you can't. Because when the system collapses, we may set up a proper one, an honest one, where money is issued by government, new money, at no interest because it hasn't performed any services. The whole world is dying because of this financial scam.
Yeah, Bob, now do a tetrad on money for us.
Well, I'll do a tetrad on Sydney. First of all, Sydney, I couldn't have said it better. I totally agree with every word you uttered. Now, I'm sure you have a lot of other words to utter, and you seem to have misinterpreted what I'm talking about, but certainly haven't heard all the words I could utter. So the fact I totally agree with you was that you said, what would you say to that?
Well, it didn't sound as if you did, because I don't think machines are running things. That's what sticks in my craw. I know that people are running things. I like to blame it on the machines, but really not. People, psychopathic types who will do anything that's expedient, as Skolnick was saying, they'll do anything to cover up the coming financial collapse. Anything. And they don't care. It's like in the First World War, the Lusitania, those were all planned. Pearl Harbor, they knew about that. These people will do anything, and it doesn't matter how many have to be sacrificed so that their system doesn't collapse.
Yes,
but it's not machines. It's not machines, Bob. It's people who can be evil.
That's the controlled information environment, Sydney, that you're talking about, that the federal government wasn't surprised by Pearl Harbor. It was only the population that was surprised
exactly.
by Pearl Harbor.
That's what I'm
that's
telling you.
Controlled information environment.
But it's done by people. People, not machines themselves. Machines have no moral value.
Well, Bob's claiming that the machines have got a consciousness and they're doing that, isn't that?
No, no.
Well,
no.
The first machine, Sydney, was speech. All right. So, what's the difference between a person and speech?
Well, listen, I can tell you, Bob, as far as I'm concerned, speech is as organic as I am. I am organic. I am not a machine. I don't even have any little parts in me that make me partially a machine. So I define machine as something not organic. Not organic, like me and my voice that you're hearing now. That is not a machine.
No, you're making a mistake there. You've got to update your perceptual capacity here. Are you aware of art? Are you aware of art?
Well, Bob, on that note, we've got...
I think, Bob, I'm aware of a lot more than...
Okay, Bob, we've got to...
Hey, that was good work there. Why don't you cut her off?
We've got to take a break. We didn't mean to cut her off. I thought I'd put it on hold. Let's start off with George in Niagara Falls. You have a question about Iraq and the effect it will have on Saudi Arabia. Let's go with that.
Yes, I was wondering, do you think that taking Iraq... out of all the, what's the gain, it turns right to Saudi Arabia, so we don't have to buy as much oil from them and put the pressure on them from the terrorists. Just another reason to go after Saudi Arabia's oil.
You're exactly right,
which is a good move to pay for all the policing that the U.S. got to do, but is that the next step?
Well, as we had Ralph Shulman on last week, extending the Odin-Dinan plan, written 23 years ago, the point is that the international oil machine, which is a 19th century apparatus, one of many apparatuses in our world, a minor apparatus basically, it wants to reorganize the Middle East. And the first way to do it is to stop Saudi Arabia. They attempted that in 1990. The whole war to sucker Iraq was to get into position so that they could put troops in Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is the key issue here.
This is the tribal men going back to their ancient tribal homeland.
No. The Saudis have the oil. They started to raise the money, the price in 1989-90. So certain people said, okay, we've got to control Saudi Arabia. We'll sucker Iraq. Then we'll be able to put troops in Saudi Arabia. So what is the image of bombing September 11th? Saudis.
Okay.
But the point is that the larger plan is to first take Iraq, and our caller is right. You take Iraq, you get the oil. Then you then take Saudi Arabia, because you're not dependent on their oil. Then you take Egypt. Then you take the Kuwait and Bahrain. And you take the whole Middle East, and you reorganize it, and break everybody up into little ethnic groups. That is the plan, and our caller has said exactly what it is.
First we take Manhattan, then we take Berlin. Let's go to Mark. Sorcery going on at the White House. Let's go into that one. Hello, Mark.
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen? Very interesting. I have somebody who was escaped from the MK Ultra. They had her primed to be marrying a very high up person, or somebody who was being groomed to be the president in the future. And she's in her 30s now, so this individual may not have been in the position to become, the U.S. president for another 20 years or so. Excuse me. And she told me some very weird stuff, and it falls in line with somebody else who actually has visions. And the person that has visions, both these people are Americans living in the States. The person having the visions had said that they see some sorcery going on at the White House. And when they say sorcery, they're talking about people dealing with the black arts. Now, we don't know what could be individual behind the prime minister, or sorry, behind the president, or behind the vice president.
And we've had Alex Jones talking about skull and bones and...
I'm talking about the shadow government is involved with this kind of stuff, the heavy-duty black arts, and they get into Satanism and all that, so...
What do you want to say to that, Bob?
Well, the gesture was the original communication, and the Catholic Church was set up to create a series of gestures called the Mass to counter the pagan, evil, satanic gestures that came out of the pre-literate societies. So gestures is a medium,
uh-huh.
And the black arts come out of that. So that's just one puny medium among many other media. One of the most popular forms of sorcery is advertising. But just aside from the content of advertising, just the fact that we're using electric media, which wipes out the mechanical media, the industrial media that Sydney thinks machines are. Machines now are organic, like speech, but therefore they have wiped out our mechanical heritage. There were some good things that came out of literacy, that came out of the book, the mechanical machines.
Okay, Bob, Bev in Toronto, who is doing the programming of the software? Let's get to that call. Bev, you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Bev.
With regard to the analogy in the software hardware,
yeah, this may be true that this is happening, but you have to ask who is programming the actual software. And not only that, is it not the software that's being changed, but in fact a type of self-censoring hardware is actually going to be introduced from the point of view of the hardware mechanism being changed as well. And so with people trying to clamp down on the web because it's letting a lot of information escape, and with a lot of people, the so-called anarchy of the internet and so on going on, I think we have the ruling class and the elite doing their best to shut down the information, and they, every time they try one way with the software, something oozes out and it escapes. So now they're racking their brains to find out how they can ultimately change the hardware. And one good example of that is Michael Bloomberg and his financial analysis.
Yes, and you've mentioned him before.
Yeah, his financial analysis, you can only access that if you buy his hardware, which means if you have Bloomberg Financial on your desk, you have to have a separate machine with its own hardware sitting there, or you don't access that information. And this is going to be the kind of shutdown that people are going to find. They're going to find, yeah, they've got the software, but they're going to have difficulty locating the hardware because they're going to deprive people of the hardware, and you're going to have to buy their hardware in order for you to be able to play your software, and then it's going to be self-censoring hardware, and that's what we're up against.
Well, Bev, if that's the case, I think it's a good case you make, and I welcome your call. How come you're using the same name week after week?
Well, he's the only,
a different name, Bev.
Well, he's the only example of someone who actually has to, because you're using the computer analogy,
yeah,
which was started by Bob, I'm saying he's the only one.
I'm just fooling you.
Yeah, that he's beating the game by introducing his own hardware. You cannot access the information without it. And this is going to be the kind of shutdown that people are going to be faced with ultimately.
Okay, well, Bev, thank you for your call.
Okay.
Bye.
Now, let me respond to that. The interesting thing is that we went from caveman bodies, then to early tools, then hardware, then software. Now, what's interesting about the chaos of the Android meme software, as that is disappearing, when we move into the hardware control, which is what Bez's point is, but I'm saying we're already back to the caveman, original anthropomorphical body is running around, and it's that gang that has gotten out of the software and hardware matrix that is organizing all these events of the last 25 years, and that's the Committee of 12.
Okay, well, now look, let's take this last call, Ad Absurdum. Let's get to him, the idea of speech being a machine. This is right up
regular,
your alley.
A regular on our forum.
Oh, there you go. Sleeper, you want to introduce him?
Yeah, well, Ad Absurdum. Let's hear him.
Ad Absurdum. You there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask this question because I thought Sydney's call represented a really intelligent person who was had developed very far in their thinking, right up to the edge of that bridge where they can't see that it's the machines running things rather than the people. And I thought that the point you brought up, Bob, immediately, that speech is a machine is the best bridge to try to immediately introduce to people, because it's the last thing they would think, that their speech is a machine. So I wanted to ask you what maybe would be a way that you could divulge to the listening populace an easy and quick means somehow of realigning their perception to see their very speech as being a machine.
Bob, let's go. I don't want to interrupt. Go ahead and answer, and then we want to move to Alex Jones. Time's running tight. We're getting skinny on time.
The machines that we call mechanical for 200 years were clunky things. But once we had the telephone and the TV, we could communicate live. You can't communicate live when you write a book or write a newspaper. So we went from mechanical communication media to electronic communication media, and therefore they're just like speech. They can be interactive. So they are organic. So the point I'd make to Sydney, which you're the caller is pointing out the advantage of, the understanding that speech is the first machine, it's an organic machine, interactive machine, and we've retrieved the organic aspects of the of speech with the electric media.
Back with Alex Jones. We're running tight on time. Alex, your last-minute report. I'm sorry to leave you with such a quick report, but we're going to talk about the Northwoods document and the sniper. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Just enjoying sitting back and listening to the show. But
Alex, I just wanted to say that I was able to explain a lot of things that we discussed on your show when we were guests. I hope it helped explain what I meant by the Android meme.
Well, I'm not totally focused on that view of the paradigm. I mean, of course it's important. It just shows that I would say that 99.99% of people are not truly living and are not actually affecting anything in this world psychologically. And so certainly the machines become alive because we don't have original thoughts of our own, and that leaves a tiny cabal able to program it. But the people become so mindless that the globalists can't create enough programming specifically themselves, so now the subconscious is taking control through what the artists are making. Now we have the internet throwing all this, you know, this wild curveball into it, and that's why the globalists are having to recharge the Android meme, as you were saying, with nuclear, biological, Holocaust images, and may actually bring us those images to maintain control. And the final point about the whole cyborg system you're talking about is that the lady called about hardware. It's not just Bloomberg where you got to have our machine. From Denver, Colorado to Arlington, Texas to London, England, they're putting in the thumb scanners. The police just announced to the local shops, you're going to have people thumb scan now when they buy or sell, not just with credit cards or checks, but now they're even talking about cash. This is to force us, the system, no matter if they've lost control, they're going to try to retie control to physical resources through that machine, and you'll have to go to that matrix to actually get your food, and then that's where the implantable chip they're desperate to promote to us, and that's quite a move for them to be promoting implantable chips right now, we'll have to go with that. So it's they are maintaining control of it, but at a certain level it's also diluted, and that's why it's spinning out of control.
Alex, we've got to run, but thanks. Your synopsis is just terrific for exactly what we're trying to do here on Cloak & Dagger by giving people an understanding of the controlled information environment by speaking to experts like yourself. We welcome you back real soon. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't have time. I mean, I can't get into the sniper in 3 minutes.
No.
I think you said I'm going to come back on next week, and I'll be glad to explain the U.S. government Northwood's plan to commit sniper attacks, and I have my press release about this on Infowars.com.
Exactly.
If folks want to find out the truth, Infowars.com.
Thanks, Alex.
You bet.
Are we there, Bob?
Yeah, you're typing.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. Bob, it's been just terrific. You know, what we're trying to do is just update consciousness. Your poetry was terrific tonight. People should go, if they like what they hear, they should go to mojoradio.com and click on the Cloak & Dagger link. And there's tons of information there on archives, on show info, on our guests. You can go to the website. You can update yourself. Thanks very much, Bob, for joining us.
That was a great show, and it was almost like CKLN.
Last words you're saying. Good night.
Good night.
Now, sleeper, tremendous.
Oh, we did okay.
Tremendous.
I'll be
here. We are. Bob, you've got to join us in studio as a host, as a co-host, as working with us, so we can see you. I find it's hard sometimes to work where you can't see the person. We got Pepper Chomsky here. Pepper, what do you think of Cloak & Dagger and what we're putting out?
Howdy, Lenny. I think we got a fantastic thing. There's some beautiful organic women that've been calling up and heard about licking a cheek and things. And just want to refer back to Mr. McLuhan, who used to say that the stripper puts us on by taking off her clothes. I think that's where we're at tonight.
Yeah, yeah. We love America, and we hope she'll wake herself up soon. Get conscious, everybody. Come back next Sunday. Jeff Steinberg from the EIR will be here. Good night. I hate to go.